Morning, we're going to have our second sermon in this series that we are calling God with Us. As I mentioned last week, the guiding question, sort of the umbrella question for this sermon series is this: what does the incarnation mean for our lives? Or another way of saying it, what is the impact of the incarnation that God took on flesh, became a human for us? What impact does that have on our lives? Have there been times in your life, maybe even now, where as you reflect on your relationship with God, you noticed or you are noticing that you've drifted from Him? There are times in your life as you've reflected on your relationship with God that you've noticed that your relationship with Him has whittled down to essentially a check-the-box kind of spirituality. Do you know what I mean when I say check-the-box kind of spirituality? Where your relationship with God has sort of simply come down to, I've come to worship service, check. I read my Bible, check. I said a prayer at night, check. I might have written a check to church, check. And as you think about your relationship, you realize that all your relationship with God has come down to is checking off these different actions that perhaps have the appearance of spirituality, but even in those quiet moments as you reflect on who God is and who you are in relationship to God, you realize that that relationship is whittled down to almost nothing. You think about the people that are closest to you, perhaps a spouse, a child, a parent, a close friend. And if you think about it, if you approached your relationship with God in the same way that you approach your relationship with those that were closest to you, your relationship with God would be completely transformed. Or another way of saying it, if you approached at the current time, when your relationship is whittled down to a check the box, if you've approached your relationship with those that are closest to you in the way that you approach God right now, the relationship that you have with those who are closest to you wouldn't be much of a relationship. Have you ever thought about that? So today we're going to talk about how the truth that God came to earth paves the way for us to know Him more fully or more intimately. Our God is one who, from the beginning, as we look at Scripture, has been bent on revealing Himself to His people. He's not necessarily secretive. He's open about who He is, and He has, from the beginning, allowed people to access Him, to know Him, to have an intimate relationship with Him. So you think about a pillar of clouds or a pillar of fire early on as the people were led out of Egypt into the promised land. God made His presence known to the people in those forms. One knew the direction that God was leading the people because of the presence among the people. And later on, He was present with the people in a tabernacle. As a matter of fact, you can read about this in the book of Exodus. When God came to His people in the tabernacle, it says that the glory of the Lord came down on that tabernacle. Then later on in Scripture, 1 Kings and elsewhere, it says that God's glory came down this time on the temple. And at the temple and at the tabernacle, God's people had a clear picture of God's presence with them. In other words, God had become accessible to the people. They could know God, experience God in an intimate way because God, in His grace and mercy, God does not have to do this, but God in His grace and mercy has made Himself available to His people. And this becomes really important to our purposes in this sermon when you come to a passage like John 1, verse 14. John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The word dwelling right there has the connotation or conveys the thought of tabernacling with His people. It's the same kind of language that is spoken about in the Old Testament, talking about God becoming present with His people. So in the Word, in Jesus Christ, as we see if we look back at John 1, 1 through 5, the Word, Jesus Christ, becomes God's presence to the people. He is a representative of God. God dwells among His people in Jesus Christ. It continues on there in verse 14. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John says, we have seen God's glory, the glory of God, the Father, and the glory of the Son. And so in Jesus, God made His dwelling among the people. And this is life-altering. It is transformative to God's people that God chose to be present, not in a cloud or a fire, not in a temple or a tabernacle, but now in a person. God chose to be present, to be attentive to His people. It is life-altering. Listen to what Jesus says to His disciples in John 14, verses 6 and 7. John 14, 6 and 7. Jesus answered the people, and this is when He talks about He is going to a place, and He's going to prepare a place for them. He's leaving, but He's going to prepare a place, and there's no need for the disciples to worry. Everything's going to be okay. There's going to be hope. And then He says this, verses 6 and 7. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. We get this, right? Jesus is the entry point to the Father. Think about John 1:14. Jesus is the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God amongst the people. And Jesus is the embodiment of God's way, of God's truth, and of God's life. Then He says in verse 7, If you really know Me, you will know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. So in Jesus, God is present with the people. And in knowing Jesus, the Son, one can know the Father as well. God came to earth, and here's the language we used last week, as Emmanuel, God with us, in order that we may know Him. Let's think about it this way. And this is all from John's gospel. This is how we know God, from watching Jesus. So Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus has power over creation. We know that. It's the Creator, but also sustains creation. We know about God's mercy from watching Jesus interact with the woman at the well, caring for her, stepping out of a comfort zone of that social time to interact with this woman. We know about the nourishment of God as we reflect on Jesus' words to the people that were listening that day. I am the bread of life. God sustains us and nourishes us. We know about the compassion of our God in watching Jesus interact with that woman that was caught in adultery. Remember that story? She was busted, right? She was red-handed. And the people around were holding those stones, and Jesus stood up for that woman. all the people that were holding their stones ended up dropping those stones. They were ready to use to kill that woman. They dropped them and walked away. And there was only one person standing with that woman at the end of that story. Who was it? It was Jesus Christ. In that, we get a picture of the compassion of not only the Son, but the Father as well. And we know about the guidance of our God by hearing Jesus Christ say that He is the Good Shepherd. He protects us. He cares for us. He leads us. And we know about God's power over death as we hear Jesus in John chapter 11 say to Lazarus, "Lazarus, get up." Our God has power over death. Here's why it's important for us to remember this. I've heard it talked about this way before. A lot of times, many of us anyways, are vampire Christians. Vampire Christians. Now let me explain this idea of being vampire Christians. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, we really only want Jesus for His blood. Get it? Vampire Christians. We want the blood that flows down that cross and covers our sin. We want our sins to be atoned for. We want our ticket punched for heaven that comes through the forgiveness of the cross of Christ. So we want all of that. But as far as the rest of the story, Jesus' life and ministry, take it or leave it. If I've got the cross, that's all I need. But what we see throughout the Gospels is that the teaching and the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ is so very important. The cross is important and we need the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, absolutely. But His life and His ministry is no less important. Jesus Christ, God with us, dwelt among the people. And Jesus said to the disciples in John 14, "If you know Me, you know the Father as well. And when you know the Son and when you know the Father, it transforms us. It changes us. It alters the way that we live our life." Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Is your relationship with Jesus more than just thank you for the cross, but thank you for the life and ministry and the access you provide to me, to us, to God the Father? And so Sarah and I in college started dating. We really started dating once I was actually a year out of college, and then she was a senior, but we don't have time to tell the story in detail right now, and you should be thankful for that. But I'll tell you this. So when we first started dating, I loved getting to know her, right? Getting to spend time with her. We sat and just talked for a whole long time. It was great getting to know her, and I was loving it. I was getting to know her past, her experience, her high school experience, about her family. All of that was just absolutely awesome. And the amazing part about it is, as I was getting to know her, she was getting to know me, and she stuck around through all of that. And that is a testimony to the grace and power of God right there. But think about, for those of you who are married or have been married or have a significant other, think about those early days of dating and getting to know each other. It's almost like you can't get enough of hearing that person talk. I wanted to hear Sarah's story. I wanted to know more about her. And I think the same was true for her with me sharing my story as well. That love, or at least that beginning of love, was moving me and moving her to get to know one another more. When it comes to my relationship with God, when it comes to your relationship with God, do you have that same sort of love? Do you have that same sort of desire to know your Father, to know what He's about, to know His story, to know how He works, to know his character? Do we have that that kind of love that moves us to knowledge. And not the other way around necessarily, but that works too. Knowledge that moves us to greater love. So often in Scripture, the metaphor of marriage is used to talk about the relationship that God has with His people. There's intimacy in that relationship that we are to have with our Father, and that comes through knowing Him, and knowing Him comes through knowing Jesus Christ. So I'd say, as you think about that question, do you know Jesus? An indication of your knowledge of Jesus. This is not hellfire brimstone. This isn't to make anybody feel bad. It's to challenge us. Our indication of our knowledge of Jesus is, how much time do you spend in the Gospels? How much time do you spend absorbing the teachings, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Can you just not get enough of Jesus Christ? Through Him, we come to know the Father as well. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17. This is starting in verse 24. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am, and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me, because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known, in order that the love You have for Me may be in them, and that I Myself may be in them. So in this prayer, Jesus said that He has made the Father known. We get that right as we read the Gospels. But here's the part I want us to notice this morning, is that Jesus says in this prayer, He asks God that Jesus will continue to make the Father known. So my question is, how will He continue to make the Father known? And I believe it's through His people, those who are in Christ, or as Paul says, those who have Christ living in them. And so we have the blessing, the privilege to make the Father known in the way that we live our lives, the way that we interact with those around us. Are we making Jesus known? Are we making the Father known? God is with us, just as He was with Emmanuel. So around this season, everything loosens up a bit. Isn't that cool how that works? It is the most wonderful time of the year. But you've got to admit, or at least this is what I'm sensing, there's a little bit more tension this year than years past. Each time I turn my phone on, I breathe a sigh of relief when there isn't a notification from some news source about another tragedy. This year seems to be just filled with tragedies. And some time has passed, of course, since the Paris attacks, and those more recently in California. But the effects of those atrocities, they still weigh heavy on our hearts. They weigh heavy on my heart. And we have a presidential election coming up. And so these presidential candidates are getting all kinds of airtime. And the 24/7 news outlet, it can be helpful, but we also understand it can be a little bit dangerous as well. I think we all know this to be true, right? And so in the midst of this tension, questions flood our minds. We can be real about these questions. What's ISIS going to do next? Are we safe? What are we to do about Syrian refugees? Who's going to be our president? Who should be our president? Does it matter who our president is? Would Jesus say, pray for our enemies, when it's ISIS that we're talking about? And so the questions come freely, right? They do for me, but what I'm finding is the answers don't flow from my mind quite so freely. And that bugs me, right? I want answers. But in the midst of the chaos, I think Jesus' prayer, the one that we just read, and I'm going to read it again, is just as forceful as ever, starting in verse 25 of John 17. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make them known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And so we pledge our allegiance to this King who prayed this prayer. Therefore, I think as we process these events, I think we should do the following. And the first is we should name the reality that so many in our world do not know Jesus. Although it doesn't make the recent events any easier to stomach, it's important from time to time, I think, to remind ourselves that not all people are striving to love Jesus. That's pretty obvious. They are blinded from the real truth, specifically that Jesus is the truth and the way and the life. Remember what Jesus said earlier in John's gospel? If the world hates you, remember that they first hated me. There is evil in the world. We know this full well. We're not surprised by it. But I want to remind us as a community of faith that in the first century, the governing authorities put a perfect man on a cross. That man is Emmanuel. Second, the darkness in the world, and there is darkness. What those shooters did, what those bombers did, is pure evil, nothing less than that. But here's the thing, I don't think it should discourage us one bit from passionately following Jesus. And following Jesus means to choose to look at all people and all situations through a lens of faith. Remember what Jesus said? Love your neighbor as yourself. And as I mentioned during the Art of Neighboring series, the neighbor Jesus is referring to is the person that lives next door to us and across the street from us and the person that lives across the ocean from us. They're all our neighbors. And of course, the way that Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan makes it clear that our neighbor is not only the person who treats us well or the person that we like, but it's the Muslim in our community, the immigrant working across the street, the person struggling with their sexual orientation, and even the person that's worshiping in the Hindu temple just down the road from us. We love because he first loved us. Our God is love, as John wrote. And third, and finally, in this tense period of time, it would be easy to allow fear to simply cripple us or drive us to apathy. But in times like these, we should be all the more motivated to passionately follow Jesus and to make him known in a world who so desperately needs to see him. And the call to make Jesus known can happen in a myriad of ways. But right now, I want to especially encourage us to think about making him known in the small ways, in the little things. And as we interact with those we see every day, our spouses, our friends, our coworkers, our children, our parents, our fellow believers, those we run into at Target, I pray that all people, as they interact with us, can say that person is different, that church is different. I pray that we can be making Jesus known. And as Jesus talked about in Matthew 25, I hope we can see Jesus in others. All others. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25? Whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And so as one writer put it, are we treating Jesus well? Are we treating Jesus well? So as we close up this morning, just two questions. Again, these are to move us to action and reflection, or maybe reflection and then to action. The first is this: who do you know who doesn't know God? Who do you know who doesn't know God? Now, they're being very transparent here. There have been times in my life, and even recently, that when I've reflected on that question, I couldn't think of anybody. And maybe that says something about how I'm living my life. Am I living passionately for Jesus, striving to make him known to others? If I am, I think that's going to move me to people that don't yet know him. So who do you know that doesn't know God? And then how will you show them Jesus? How will you make God known to them? And let's not just allow these to be questions just kind of float out there somewhere. Let's make this practical. Let's make this tangible in our lives. And the next week, be thinking about that. Who do you know that doesn't know God? And what are you going to do about it? How will you show them? How will you show them Jesus? We're a people of the gospel, of the good news. The good news is God is with us. Through Emmanuel, we can know God, and it is awesome, life-changing, and moves us to proclaim God to the watching world. If there's anybody here today that has not yet put Jesus on in baptism, today would be an awesome day to do that. We would love to witness you make that decision. If you feel God working on your heart, moving you to make a decision like that, we would love to assist you in that and witness you make that decision. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the church family, as you know, we are always ready to pray with you and for you. We are in this journey together. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.